there are some lovely little words to be found in John chapter 9, verse 1. The whole passage is an amazing story, and we'll cover that this morning, but these are the words that really stood out to me. As Jesus passed by. And I love that little phrase. It speaks volumes. It reminds me that Jesus left his Father's side in the beauty and splendor of heaven to walk the pavements and the highways and the byroads and the dirt tracks and the seashores of this world. And as he did so, he wasn't just benignly connecting with the nature that he had created, listening to birdsong and admiring the flowers. No, he was engaging with people as Jesus passed by. He went to where people were. In fact, he did that so much that he had on occasion to withdraw himself from people just to get alone with God and to commune with his Father in prayer. It's an amazing idea, isn't it, that Jesus passed by. So John 9 from verse 1 says this, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus is saying something. Here's a man with a condition. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And through this, the works of God are going to be revealed to people. And of course, that's something that occurred a number of times. As Jesus passed by a well in Samaria, there he met an unsatisfied woman. But he didn't leave her the way he found her. As Jesus disembarked on one occasion from his boat near a place called Gadara, there he met a man who couldn't be tamed or controlled or sorted out by society, no matter how hard they tried. But Jesus didn't leave him the same. As Jesus went around Galilee, he found lepers who wanted to be clean. And Jesus didn't leave them the way he found them either. On other occasions, he raised the dead to life. Now, in and of themselves, these miracles showed the power of God. And they also authenticated Jesus as he was who he claimed to be, the promised one, the prophesied one, the foretold one. But beyond that, they illustrated even greater works of God. Spiritual works, miraculous works of a higher order. And these miracles are still happening today and can happen in this car park this morning. You see, through his encounter with that woman at the well, Jesus, apart from telling her about her need of a saviour and of her sin, he paints a picture of unsatisfied thirst being quenched through finding new life in him. Through his encounter with the demon-possessed man at Gadara, Jesus paints a picture of spiritual bondage and finding freedom in Jesus. Through his encounter with the lepers, he paints the picture of spiritual uncleanness and finding complete cleansing in him. And through his encounter with those already dead, Jesus paints the picture of spiritual separation and finding new life through new birth in him. So it was then that as Jesus passed by, on many occasions, apart from doing what he did in the immediate miracle, he was showing something else, a greater work, a spiritual work, which God has done in my life. And in the lives of those on this platform, and in the lives of many in this car park this morning. And he can do it for you. So when he passes by the blind man in John 9, he wasn't just showing forth the works of God in physical healing, but he was also showing forth the greater work that God can do in opening the eyes of those who are spiritually blind. And this is clear from this parable, or this story, more than near almost any other, because at the end of our reading, John 9 verse 40, we read that some of the Pharisees which were with him said to him, "Are we blind also?" Now these men were men who had clear physical vision. But they knew that what Jesus had said as he performed the miracle, and what he said after the miracle, he knew that Jesus was exposing their unwillingness to see past their own misconceptions and traditions, and their unwillingness to open their eyes to the truth. As Jesus passed by, it was a real moment in time, and he encountered a real man with a real problem. But before the man became aware of even the presence of Jesus, we read these words: as Jesus passed by, he saw. There's nothing wrong with Jesus, I say. And what did Jesus see? He saw a man blind from birth. But Jesus also saw something beyond that. He saw spiritual blindness. And Jesus saw something again that I want you to see today. Not only can he heal the physically blind, but he can also help us to have our eyes opened to our need of him and to what he can do for us. Before the man saw Jesus, Jesus saw the man. And he's passing by this morning in this very car park. And you mightn't think very much about the Saviour. You might think you need him. But he sees you and he sees what you're thinking. He knows your heart. He knows how you've been processing the things of God, maybe not even in recent years, but over all of your life. And Jesus sees you. In fact, everything that happens in this world is open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. But there's something else in this story I want us to see. As Jesus passed by, he found a man who was aware of his need. Now, that's a good starting point for any kind of healing or recovery, is to know that you have a need, to know that something's not right. Jesus himself said, it's the sick who go looking for a physician, for a doctor, isn't that so? And our blind friend in this story, he was certainly aware of his need. Picture him going around the streets of Jerusalem, groping along the walls, trying to find his way, reaching out, perhaps tapping with a stick. Every step he took was a reminder of his condition, was a reminder of what he didn't have. He knew his need. And the man's physical need is a picture of mankind's spiritual need. But in his awareness of his need, I'm sure there was always a longing that things might be different. But here was an opportunity. Jesus was passing that day. What would that man's experience be? He was born blind. He had never even known what we can experience this morning by looking around us and looking up at Nokia and seeing the beauty of God's creation. And as we see the lovely spring buds and leaves unfolding, it's a lovely time of year. That man would have seen none of that. He wouldn't even be able, if somebody said something about the sun or about a tree, he would have no recollection. He would have nothing, no point of reference for a conversation that would contain anything that could be seen. And of course, he would be living in darkness. But in the Bible, darkness is connected with the absence of God. God lives in heaven, and we read of heaven that there's no need for any created light. Continual light. Why? Because God is there. Now, here on earth, there's a mixture. We have day and night. And of course, God is present through his people. We are lights in this world. So even in the fact that we live in a world where there is a mixture of physical darkness and physical light, it's a representation that here we are a people, and within us, if we know the Lord, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. There is a mixture of light and darkness. But hell is a place where there's no light. And it's described as outer darkness. Those who are saved are described in the Bible as children of light. Those who have been redeemed are described as having been delivered from the power of darkness. And here in our passage, we have an individual who couldn't see anything. He couldn't distinguish between darkness and light, day and night. What a shock it would have been for that man when he received his sight. But wasn't it wonderful that he was able to have that experience in life? And it's a wonderful thing for those of us who've trusted the Saviour to have had our eyes opened here and now, in time. What a shock it'll be for many when they step out of this life unready, unsaved, unprepared, and they step into a lost eternity. Into a never-ending consciousness, a never-ending existence, and to do so without Jesus. What a shock that will be. What a shock to one day stand before the dazzling whiteness of a great white throne. Here's a man who was born blind. And it's interesting that he was born that way. This is emphasized in the story. It's emphasized by the religious people, it's emphasized by his neighbors, and by the man himself and his parents. It comes through and through and through in the story. He was born this way. And you and I have been born into this world in sin. We have been born with a sinful nature. We are sinners by birth. We are already on the broad road that leads to destruction. We didn't have to choose that. The only option open to us is to choose to take the narrow way. And it's the broad road that leads to destruction. We are born that way. You know, for someone born blind, it makes no difference if they're born in a palace or a pigsty. Because the beauty and splendor of one is just as hidden as the filth and dirt of the other. And many today who are still spiritually blind can't understand why we Christians get so excited about the beauty of Jesus, the beauty of his love for us. And the same people can't see in themselves the defilement and stains that have built up because they have never been cleansed. Man couldn't do anything about being born that way, and we can't do anything about being born sinners. But we have a choice to make as we live. There is an option open to us. There is cleansing available. And many choose to continue in their sin. Jesus said in John 3:19, this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So there was a man who was aware of his need. He knew he was born with this condition. And I wonder, do we realize our need today? Let's read on from verse 6. When Jesus had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Could you imagine if that man had missed his opportunity that day? Jesus passed by that day. Is any wonder in the Bible we're told, call upon him while he is near? That man had a wonderful opportunity. And Jesus does something. He makes this clay and puts it on the man's eyes. And then he asks the man to do something before his eyes are open. So the Savior gives an instruction. Recently we talked about another instruction of Jesus, come to me. In this case, Jesus says, go and wash. So often you hear the phrase, don't you? Seeing is believing. Well, if that's true, there's a complication there. Because in the Word of God, the Bible, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith. We believe. We trust. We depend completely on something we have never seen, someone we have never seen. Paul says in Ephesians 2:8, by grace are you saved through faith. Jesus spoke about you and me. He saw us down through millennia. And he knew that there would be a group of people in this car park on the second day of May, 2021. And he says, blessed are they who have not seen, yet have believed. And Peter says about Jesus, whom having not seen, we love. The man couldn't see, but he could hear. And Jesus speaks to him. And he does something unusual by placing that clay on his eyes. It prompts the man into action. Because now he had a need to go and have this taken away. Why did Jesus do that? Wasn't that very strange? Wasn't that unusual? There were times he just spoke the word and someone was healed. There were times when he touched and someone was healed. There were times when someone touched him and they were healed. This is unusual. But there's a picture here too, isn't there? He takes something with no moisture in it. So it's not like clay that we would use for pottery because it's only pliable when it's taken out of the ground in its moist state. He's taking the dust of the ground here. And he's moistening it in order to apply it to the man's eyes. What a strange thing. What a foolish thing it would seem. But as I think of the dust of the ground, it makes me think of familiar words that I sadly on many occasions have to use. Standing in an open grave. And these words are found in Scripture. dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. The dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What Jesus did in applying that moistened dust, that clay to the man's eyes, what he did reminds us that we're dust. Reminds us of our frailty, reminds us of our mortality. And even today, Jesus uses things to get our attention and remind us of our frailty, of our mortality. It may be illness that he has allowed. It may be bereavement or some other kind of crisis. And there are other things that the Lord uses as well to help us to see our need. He uses preachers. He uses the scriptures. He uses gospel literature, radio broadcasts, online services, drive-in churches, praying loved ones, witnessing friends, faithful testimonies. He doesn't have to use those things, just as he didn't have to use the clay, but he chooses to use them. And in 1 Corinthians 1 and 21, we read this here, the world by wisdom knew not God yet. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God uses foolish things to confound the wise. And he uses weak things to confound the things that are mighty. It seemed odd, it seemed strange for Jesus to do what he did. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. A strange thing. But the man in our story listened. He obeyed. And he came seeing. From verse 8 of John 9. The neighbours therefore, they which before had seen him, said, is not he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thy eyes open? The blind man answered, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I went and washed and I received sight. Now, isn't it interesting that straight away this man is having to answer questions. When we come to the end of the story, I like his final response. He says this in verse 25. This one thing I know. For as I was blind, now I can see. And John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, picked that line up. I once was lost, but now I'm found blind, but now I see. What's being conveyed there? There's a before and after. I wonder, is there a before and after in your experience? There's certainly a before and after in my life. And I know in the lives of many who come to our fellowship, they've told me what their life was like before Jesus and what their life is like now. One thing this man is able to say, he says, I don't have all the answers. There are dozens of things that he doesn't know. But that doesn't make him discard what he does know. He says, one thing I can tell you. I walked down to the pool of Siloam blind. And I walked back seeing. How did this happen? A man called Jesus. I love that. We could pass you by in the street a dozen times any day. And as you leave this morning, you'll pass by me at the exit. But I can't do for you what Jesus can do for you. But I'm glad he's here. I'm glad he's alive. I'm glad he's with us. I'm glad he still passes by. And our healed man says, a man that is called Jesus, and he relates the story, and I receive my sight. One man. But what a man. In Acts 4 and 12, we read this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What's the only name? The name is Jesus. Hebrews 10 and 12. This man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down the right hand of God. And in 1 Timothy 2 and 5, there is one God, yes, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, this dear soul who had just been healed, he didn't have all the answers. He didn't know everything about the Bible. But one thing he knew, yesterday I was blind, today I can see. There's a gospel song and it says, something happened and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. But it doesn't stop there. Maybe you've come along and you're thinking about trusting the Lord as your Saviour and you think, I don't know very much. I need to know more. You don't need to know more. If you know that you're a sinner, you know God loves you, you know God has done everything that is necessary to save you, and all you have to do is trust Him. Just you start there. Just you come as you are. And you'll be like the rest of us. We'll have to grow in grace one step at a time, one day at a time, and add to our faith knowledge and grow in grace. Verse 18 of John 9. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. They didn't want to believe. And so the interrogation begins and they ask his parents, is this really him? And his parents answer verse 20 and said, we know that this is our son. We know that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him, and he'll speak for himself. And that's where our man says then, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I can see. Do you know what happened? The religious people who didn't want to believe in Jesus, they threw the man out of the synagogue. They struck him off the roll book. They terminated his membership. What was his sin? He believed Jesus. He put his trust in Jesus. He obeyed Jesus. Oh, he may have lost his seat in the synagogue, but he gained a title deed to a mansion in heaven. He may have lost communion with the self-righteous, but he gained fellowship with God himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Paul writes in Philippians 3 and 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You know, maybe you're counting the cost. Maybe you're thinking of what's going to happen if you do trust Jesus. You're maybe going to have to tell people you're friendly with, people you've known for years, and maybe you've had many a debate and a conversation with them, and you've kind of brushed aside or laughed at the idea of getting saved. And maybe you know that they wouldn't perhaps want to continue to be in your company if you get saved. You have to count the cost, friends. Your friends will cajole you into hell, but they can't cajole you out. Some have spent many years in prison for Jesus. But they were glad to do so because they had been released from and freed from the bondage of sin. Some have lost friends and family, but they've gained a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Some have been burned at the stake for Jesus, but they've been spared the unquenchable fire of hell. He was put out of the synagogue. Verse 35, when Jesus heard it, they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and he it is that talks with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." So there you find, although the man had been healed, he's now progressing. Jesus has sought him out. Jesus has found him in his discouragement. And Jesus is revealing more and more of himself to him. Does Jesus care? Yes, he does. This story shows it. You read the Gospels, they display that Jesus cares. And that's why Jesus passed by. That's why he is here by the power of his Spirit this morning. That's why he's passing by. That's why this is another opportunity that you're getting. But what does he see when he looks at you? Does he see someone who's aware of their need? Does he see someone who's happy to close their eyes to the truth? Does he see someone who's going to obey his voice this morning? Oh, I trust that that's you. That's our prayer, that somebody here today will take this opportunity as Jesus passes by to obey him, to receive that spiritual healing, to turn from darkness to light, to have their eyes opened as Jesus passed by. Don't miss your opportunity, and may the Lord give you his grace to seek him today. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for sending the Saviour, and we thank you that by your Spirit you still come to us, and we're glad that this is another opportunity for us to respond. Lord, may someone here do that. May they count the cost. May they realize that eternity is something that is far greater than a few years here in this world. That the approval of God is far more important than the approval of friends, cronies, family, or our social set. Lord, we pray that eyes will be opened, that ears will be open, and that faith will be exercised in this one man whose name is Jesus. Amen.